Here are some sample Bible Bowl questions for you this morning. And Keith helped you out by reading from Acts chapter 4. Which of the following is not true of Barnabas? A, he was a Levite from Cyprus. B, he sold a piece of land. C, he was called Joseph, or Joseph, some versions have it. Or D, he was called Simon. Which did you select? The answer is D. It is not true of Barnabas that he was called Simon. Number two, what does Barnabas mean? Does it mean A, great giver? B, son of Barney? I like that one. C, son of encouragement? Or D, son of grace? And the answer is C, son of encouragement. We'll come back to that in a moment. Number three, who called Joseph Barnabas? Was it A, Peter, B, the apostles, C, the church, or D, Paul? After the apostles named him Barnabas, the church called him Barnabas as well. But B is the correct answer, but I appreciate the enthusiasm very much. Number four, what did Barnabas see upon coming to Antioch from Jerusalem? What did he see? Was it A, the grace of God? Or did he see B, Jewish hostility? C, people speaking in tongues? Or D, Paul preaching? What did Barnabas see upon coming to Antioch from Jerusalem? The answer is A. He saw the grace of God. Number five, this is the last one this morning. Where did Barnabas go after leaving Antioch on the second missionary journey? Now, these are the kind of questions that are going to drive me bonkers this afternoon. Where did Barnabas go after leaving Antioch on the second missionary journey? Did he go to A, Cyprus, B, Corinth, C, Derbe, or D, Jerusalem? Where did he go? I heard Cyprus, and A, Cyprus is the correct answer. I don't know if you got all those or none of them, but these are the types of, or these questions and many, many, many more are what many of our children have been studying to participate in Bible Bowl. This morning, I want to emphasize that it's not just trivia, and it's not just knowing where Barnabas went after leaving Antioch on the second missionary journey. We want to make application of what we study in the book of Acts, or whatever book of the Bible that we're studying. And so the questions have centered around Barnabas, as will the lesson that I want to share with you, borrowed much in part from Sam Wilcutt and his lesson on Barnabas in the Pearls Study Series. Acts 4:36 that Keith read for us, and Joseph, or Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, he was a Levite of the country of Cyprus. And some of the greatest things have been done by people who don't receive a lot of recognition. And I think Barnabas is one of those. He never wrote an epistle. To our knowledge, he never founded a major congregation of the Lord's church. But he did a lot of great things. His birth name was Joseph. He was named Joseph. Not the earthly father of Jesus, not Joseph of Arimathea who wrapped Jesus' body to be buried, not the son of Jacob who had the coat of many colors. We usually don't refer to him by his given name, but as someone proclaimed, the church calls him Barnabas. Not Joseph, but Barnabas, because the apostles named him Barnabas, son of encouragement. I want to look at a few passages this morning in the book of Acts where Barnabas is mentioned to see what we can learn about him. And number one, we see that Barnabas was a very generous man. It's in the context in Acts chapter 4 of how the early Christians would offer things that they own and sell them and lay the money at the apostles' feet to be distributed among those who had need. And Barnabas is singled out as one who, having land, sold it and laid the money at the apostles' feet. So he is introduced by Luke concerning his generosity with material things. He was a very generous man. Notice that passage again. Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. And his example of generosity is in great contrast with what we read in the next chapter about Ananias and Sapphira, who also sold some property of theirs, but kept back part of the selling price, but gave the idea to the apostles that the money that they gave to them was the whole amount. And they were deceptive, and they lied to the Holy Spirit and to the apostles. And they died as punishment. But Joseph, called Barnabas, is very distinct from Ananias and Sapphira. Very generous, had land, sold it, and gave the money to be used to help those who were needy. But not only with material things, Barnabas was also generous of heart and judgment. Let me give you a couple of examples. In Acts chapter 9, where it tells us about Saul being on the road to Damascus to find any who are of the way, any Christians there, to bring them back bound to Jerusalem, is confronted by the risen Christ. Remember, the great light shone. And he asks some questions, and Jesus tells him to go into Damascus, and it will be told him what he must do. And as a result, Ananias tells him, and he becomes a Christian. He is baptized into Christ. And then, as a Christian, he wants to join himself with the disciples in Jerusalem. Now, what had he been doing in Jerusalem but persecuting Christians? And so now he's wanting to join himself with the Christians there in Jerusalem, among those who may have had family members that Saul had personally persecuted, personally bound, personally gave his consent to their death. And now this persecutor of Christians is wanting to identify himself with the Christians there. We read in verse 26, when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples. This is Acts chapter 9. But they were afraid of him and did not believe he was a disciple, because they had personally witnessed what he had done before. So they doubted whether this persecutor of Christians was now sincerely a disciple of Jesus. Who stands up on Paul's or Saul's behalf? Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. It was Barnabas, generous with his material possessions, yes, but generous of heart and judgment. As Sam Wilcutt wrote in this book, The Pearls book, Barnabas stuck his neck out for Saul. And he certainly did. He's basically saying, this is what has happened in his life. Let's give him a chance. And so, because of his encouragement, he joined himself with the disciples there. Another example is over in chapter 15. But note this, in chapter 13, when Paul and Barnabas are sent out on a missionary journey, the first missionary journey, that John Mark was accompanying them, but he left them and returned to Jerusalem. And the scripture doesn't tell us why, but take note that John Mark left them and returned back home. Perhaps homesickness. After that first missionary journey, Paul told Barnabas he wanted to go back and visit the brethren in the cities where they had preached to see how they were doing. And Barnabas wanted to take John Mark with them, but Paul didn't want to. Verse 37 of Acts chapter 15. Barnabas was determined to take with them John called Mark. But Paul insisted that they should not take with them the one who had departed from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And they couldn't resolve this disagreement. And so Paul and Barnabas separated company. Paul chose Silas, and they went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. And as you noted a while ago, Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. But here's Barnabas. John Mark had left them. And it's an implication here, but I think it's a safe implication that perhaps it was for reasons of homesickness or fear of persecution. John Mark had abandoned them in the missionary journey. But here's Barnabas, generous of heart, generous of judgment, wanting to give John Mark another chance. By the way, that's not the end of the story. Paul also would later call for John Mark himself. Get Mark and bring him with you, he says to Timothy, for he is useful to me for ministry. But who knows? But for Barnabas, wanting to give John Mark another chance, that John Mark proved that he was a dedicated follower of Jesus, to the point where Paul himself would later find him useful to him for his ministry. So Barnabas was a man, a very generous man. Secondly, he was a good man, a good man. Acts 11 verse 24 describes him as such. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. You want to know how good Barnabas was? Look at the context there in Acts chapter 11. What's happened is the early Christians, even by the instruction of Jesus among his disciples during Jesus' earthly ministry, at first only went to the Jews to proclaim the kingdom and to discuss about the Messiah. They've been preaching the word to no one but the Jews only, verse 19. Some Christians, however, preached Jesus to the Hellenists in Antioch. Hellenists were persons identifying themselves with Greek culture, customs, and language. They were Gentiles. So some of these Christians were branching away from Jews and now proclaiming Jesus to the Gentiles. And there are many that turn to the Lord. Now the church in Jerusalem wants to support this evangelistic effort. So who do they send to support these new Christians, these who had come out of Gentile religions? They send Barnabas, the encourager. Verse 22 of Acts chapter 11. News of these things came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. When he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. So he saw the grace of God, how? That there were even Gentiles who understood who Jesus was and had submitted their lives to him. But they send Barnabas. In this day and time when Jews and Gentiles were enemies. But now, because of Jesus, these walls of partition were being broken down, and former enemies are now brothers and sisters in Christ. And who do they send to embrace these new Christians who had once been enemies, but this encouraging person named Barnabas? So it's no wonder that he is the one that's sent. And by the way, it's in that context that says, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. It doesn't mean he was sinlessly perfect or good in the absolute sense, but he was a good man. He was a peacemaker. He was an encourager. He was a man of faith. And in those ways, we need to emulate him. As we study about Barnabas, let's ask ourselves, how can you and I be more like Barnabas in these ways? Being generous, not only with our material possessions, but being generous of heart and of judgment. Of being willing to give people a second chance. Of being willing to embrace someone who is a new Christian, who may have had a horrible past, but now has come to the Lord and needs the encouragement of brothers and sisters in Christ. Barnabas was that kind of person. Are we? Are we? Number three, Barnabas could work behind the scenes. At first, when Barnabas and Saul were together, Luke always mentions Barnabas first. We'll find that in Acts chapter 13, when they have these group of men that have been proposed as those that the church would send out on these missionary journeys. And Barnabas is mentioned before Paul in that verse, and later in verse 7 of Acts chapter 13. But after the incident involving Sergius Paulus, they began to be referred to, and from then on, as Paul and Barnabas. Because Paul would be that apostle. Paul would be that spokesperson. Paul would be that great missionary that longed to go where Christ had not been preached. And so Paul is the prominent one here. And so Barnabas is kind of in the shadows now. But Barnabas is okay with that. Barnabas is okay with doing his work behind the scenes. Some would have resented this, but there's no indication that Barnabas ever did. In fact, when Barnabas was sent to Antioch to encourage those new Christians who had even come, there were even Gentiles, it was Barnabas that went looking for Saul or Paul to bring him back, no doubt to continue to teach and encourage these new Christians. Sam Wilcutt, in his chapter in the Pearls book, made this comment. He said, "I read somewhere that both C.M. Pullius and N.B. Hardiman were considered when the speaker was being selected for the first Ryman Auditorium meeting. When they selected Brother Hardiman, some of the brethren suggested that they ask Brother Pullius to lead the singing. However, some thought that Brother Pullius might not like them asking him to lead singing after they had first considered him to be the preacher on this occasion. When asked, he told them he would be glad to do anything that would help the meeting succeed, even to sweeping the floors." That's a Barnabas-like attitude. Doesn't care who gets the credit. Is willing to help in any way that he or she can to the glory of God. Barnabas could work behind the scenes and be okay with that. We need people like Barnabas who care only that the job gets done and God gets the glory. Barnabas was a great encourager. He is named by the apostles Barnabas, which translated means son of encouragement. In this period of time, the Hebrews spoke of a man as being a son of something in which he excelled. For example, Judas is called the son of perdition, the son of destruction. And it would indicate to you the state of his spiritual well-being, if you will. He was on his way to destruction. He's the son of destruction. He would also intimate who was behind his deed of betraying our Lord. Judas is the son of perdition. He is characterized by it. Barnabas was an encouraging person. So the disciples, the apostles, called him a son of encouragement. He was marked by that quality. Sam Wilcutt asks, "What if our friends gave us names that describe our most obvious or prominent characteristics? Would they name us any of the following? Would they name us son or daughter of strife? Or son or daughter of gossip? Or son or daughter of complaining or of sensitivity? Or son of misery?" He's a miserable person and spreads misery wherever he goes. Is that what they would call us? Or would they name us one of the following? "Why, she's a daughter of prayer. She's always praying. He's a son of encouragement like Barnabas. Or she's the daughter of benevolence. She's always willing to help someone in need. Or he's a son of joy. Joy characterizes his life. A daughter of peace. A son of unity. Are these the things that people would refer and name us? Barnabas was the son of encouragement because he was an encouraging person. But here's a final thing about Barnabas I want to highlight this morning. That he was too easily influenced to do wrong. And I remind you, he was a good man. He was an encourager. He was generous. But he was too easily influenced to do wrong. And this we go to the book of Galatians. And we see what Paul says there about Peter, but also about Barnabas. In Galatians 2:11, when Peter had come to Antioch, Paul writes, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. What had Peter done? For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, those Gentiles who had become Christians. But when they came, these men from James, these Christians, these Jewish Christians came from James, he withdrew and separated himself. So you get the picture here. Peter's eating and drinking with Christians who were Gentiles. And by his actions, saying, yes, you are my brothers and sisters in Christ. We are all one in Christ. But when these Jewish Christians from James and Jerusalem came up, he separated himself. And by his actions, he is saying, well, maybe you're not as close as I had said you were previously. And maybe you're a little inferior because you're not of Jewish descent. Paul says, I withstood him to his face. It was hypocritical of him. Because he feared those who were of the circumcision. He feared those Jewish Christians. Verse 13, and the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. And we've seen he was an encourager. We've seen when Gentile Christians in Antioch, or when Gentiles became Christians in Antioch, they sent Barnabas because he was such an encourager, and he encouraged them to continue in the Lord, and many more believers were added to the faith. But on this occasion, when there was some hypocrisy going on, he was influenced by it. He stumbled. And I don't think that defines Barnabas either, do you? But it reminds us that we all are imperfect. We all struggle with one thing or another. But it should also remind us, as we look at the big picture of Barnabas and what Christ had done in his life, that God can use imperfect people. And when we stumble and fall, we need to repent of it and ask God to forgive us. But always seeking to be people like Barnabas, to be generous, to be good, to be encouraging to others. We never outgrow, Sam Wilcutt wrote, our need to be on guard against sin. And we never outgrow our need for forgiveness. Barnabas knew that. And we all need to understand that. In conclusion, let's be a Barnabas. Let's be a Barnabas. He does remind us that we need to follow Barnabas or anyone else, only to the extent that they follow Jesus. But that's what Barnabas sought to do. He sought to follow Jesus. Sam Wilcutt closed his chapter with these words. He was a great asset to the church in his time, but he was just an ordinary person of ordinary means and ordinary ability who did extraordinary things. Why? Because he surrendered his life to serving Christ. And when you and I do that, God can use us in some extraordinary ways. And perhaps it's your desire to surrender your life in obedience to the gospel of Jesus so that Jesus can wash away your sins in baptism by his blood as you've turned from sin and as you've confessed Jesus. It may be your desire to do that this morning, or it may be your desire to ask for the prayers of the church to help you get back on track to serving God faithfully. Perhaps you want to ask for the church to pray with you and for you for forgiveness, as Barnabas also needed forgiveness. But if you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, please do so right now as we stand and sing.